You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, In Harm's Way. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
The third stanza of Charlotte Elliott's famous poem goes like this: Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. That's literally true for the men and women who serve in the armed forces. They often find themselves in harm's way. A bullet, a landmine, a bomb. No wonder it's been said that there are no atheists in foxholes. There's nothing figurative about coming before God when you're serving in the military. Chaplain William J. Rice tells about his experiences in World War II. I was with the 101st Airborne Division. We were in a small village and had suffered many casualties. A medical officer and I were in a basement with the casualties when the enemy began reattacking. Following orders to withdraw, the walking wounded left the collecting station, but 45 or 50 wounded couldn't be moved. One young doctor and I decided to remain with these men and to chance being captured. We heard the enemy advancing, throwing grenades into the windows and basements of buildings that were still standing. When I heard one explode nearby, I suggested we all pray the Lord's Prayer. As we began to pray, I looked up and saw a German soldier with a grenade in his hand standing near our basement window. All the glass had been blown out. I closed my eyes and continued with a prayer, thinking, well, this is it. God will be with me. God will help me. And these wounded, too. It seemed I had my eyes closed for an awfully long time. When we prayed, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, I looked up. The German soldier, instead of throwing the grenade, was on his knees, his head bowed. I could hear him say in German, Vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. He stayed there until the prayer was finished. Then he got up, threw the grenade harmlessly aside, and walked on. Later that afternoon, our troops came back, retook the village, and released us. What does that story show? Does it show that prayer is a magical way to escape danger? The enemy is ready to hurl a hand grenade your way. You rattle off a quick prayer, and presto, you're off the hook. The story doesn't suggest that. People who pray still die. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That's a great story, but eventually Lazarus died again. Christians die. We all die. Chaplain Rice's story doesn't really suggest a magical way to dodge the big final bullet. What it does show is the complexity of prayer. But, lest you be scared, a complexity that a child can master. Prayer has two major components. The first is that you and I go to God. O Lamb of God, I come. You might go to God with your fears. The enemy is closing in on you. You're afraid that you're going to be killed. Or maybe illness is closing in on you. Maybe bankruptcy. Maybe divorce. Maybe whatever it is that produces fear. We all know fear. Maybe it's the perplexities of life. What should I do? You consider a change in your career, and you ask that question. You're raising children, and you ask that question. You're faced with an ethical decision, and you ask that question. You're perplexed. What should I do? fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Charles Spurgeon, that masterful preacher, wrote this: "Sinking times are praying times with the Lord's servants. When Peter began to sink on his journey, his danger made him a suppliant. The fox hies to his hole for protection, the bird flies to the woods for shelter, and even so, the tired believer hastens to the mercy seat for safety. Heaven's great harbor of refuge is all prayer. Thousands of weather-beaten vessels have found a haven there, and the moment a storm comes on, it is wise for us to make for it with all sail." That ought to be obvious. In every fighting and fear, we creatures ought to go in prayer to our Creator. What's not so obvious is the second major component of prayer: God talking to you. The German soldier in Chaplain Rice's story prayed, "Vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern." In English, that means, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." If you want to do prayer right, you'll have a Bible on your lap while you pray. Or if you're in a foxhole, you'll have put Bible passages in your mind. It's through those Bible passages that God speaks to you. The Word of God is a means of grace. It's the way that He gives and strengthens faith. Faith doesn't come from you dumping your problems on God. Yes, you should do that. That's what prayer is. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. But telling God your fightings and fears is not a means of grace. God's Word is. When you pray with a Bible on your lap and read the Word of God, or when you're in a foxhole or busy in a civilian job and you recall those passages that you have committed to memory, then God is really present to hear and bless your prayer. These two components of prayer are demonstrated in Psalm 143. David wrote this psalm when an enemy had the upper hand, and he was, as we say today, in harm's way. In the verses that I will read in a moment, you'll see that David not only lays out his plight before God, but he also talks about sin and hopelessness. You'll hear David acknowledge that every human being is a sinner before God. What person can stand unashamed before the holy God? No one. On top of that, when earthly enemies are closing in, we begin to lose hope. In time and in eternity, before God and before men, the situations we face often seem hopeless. Listen to David's words. Psalm 143, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, listen to my prayer. Open your ears to my urgent requests. Answer me, because you are faithful and righteous. Do not take me to court for judgment, because there is no one alive who is righteous in your presence. The enemy has pursued me. He has ground my life into the dirt. He has made me live in dark places like those who have died long ago. That is why I begin to lose hope, and my heart is in a state of shock. But now comes the other part. Remember, we read, or we recall those Bible passages that speak of God's goodness. David did that. Listen to verses 5 through 9. I remember the days long ago. I reflect on all that you have done. I carefully consider what your hands have made. I stretch out my hands to you in prayer, like parched land. My soul thirsts for you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit is worn out. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go into the pit. Let me hear about your mercy in the morning, because I trust you. Let me know the way that I should go, because I long for you. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord. I come to you for protection. The heart of God's goodness is that He is an almighty Savior. He has the power to rescue you from the most threatening situations, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, He has done just that. fightings and fears are not the most dangerous things you and I face. Sin is. Our failure to live righteously before God has brought conflict and despair into our world. Without the forgiveness of sin, death is frightening and life is not worth living. But God in Jesus Christ forgives you your sin, all your sins. So prayer becomes a dialogue between you, the sinner, and your God and Savior. That conversation should be held often and every day. You may have heard the story about the husband and wife riding in their car. The husband was driving. The wife complained, "When we were first married, we used to sit so close together in the car. It was so romantic. But look at us now, sitting far apart, no longer romantic." To that, the husband replied, "I haven't moved away." Prayer is not only telling God what's troubling us. Proper prayer also involves your moving closer to God by spending more time with His Word. A man named Zethi gives an illustration about what it means to pray always. What it means to pray without ceasing was once beautifully illustrated by a maid named Mary. She said, "When I open my eyes in the morning, I pray, 'Lord, open the eyes of my understanding.' And while I am dressing, I pray that I may be clothed with the robe of righteousness. And as I begin to work, I pray that I may have strength equal to my day. When I begin to kindle the fire, I pray that God's work may revive in my soul. As I sweep the house, I pray that my heart may be cleansed from all its impurities. While preparing and partaking of breakfast, I desire to be fed with the hidden manna and the sincere milk of the Word. When I am busy with the little children, I look up to God as my Father and pray for the Spirit of adoption that I may be His child." And so on all day. Everything I do furnishes me with a thought for prayer. When you know the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ, death is no longer the greatest disaster that can befall you. St. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "We don't want you to grieve like other people who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and came back to life. We also believe that through Jesus, God will bring back those who have died." The greatest disaster is not to know Jesus. Not to know the one who died for your sins and rose again and will lead his followers into eternal, unending life in heaven. That's why St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Christ means everything to me in this life, and when I die, I'll have even more." Then Paul adds this, "If I continue to live in this life, my work will produce more results." In Psalm 143, verse 11, David, in harm's way, prayed, "O Lord, keep me alive for the sake of your name." Every additional day of life that God gives you and me is to be dedicated to the glory of God and doing good to others. To demonstrate that, let me close by reading the rest of Chaplain Rice's story. Several months later, at a POW camp not far from Berchtesgaden, I visited some German chaplains. One lad there asked to see me. The guard brought him out. "You don't remember me?" he asked. "No, I don't." "Do you remember the soldier who fell on his knees before the basement window where you were with many wounded people?" "That was me. I learned the Lord's Prayer when I was small, and I'd forgotten about it. But I remembered it in German. Something took hold of me, and all I could do was kneel and pray with you and for you. And now I would like to become a minister." I arranged for him to be released from camp, and he began studies for the ministry in the Evangelische Lutherische Kirche. God's word is powerful, very powerful indeed. Ultimately, prayer is about the glory of God. Whatever advances His glory has to be for our good. Until next week, don't move away from God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.